Thanks for being here this weekend as we, is it Labor Day, right? I don't want to say the wrong thing. Labor Day or Memorial Day? Labor Day. Labor Day. So as we celebrate Labor Day during this weekend and hope you enjoy with your family, go to fair. You don't have to, but if you happen to be there, just have fun and just make the most of this good weather that we are having. And it is good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, as we have gathered here today, just want to kind of, you know, ask for some prayer requests. Of course, we are going to pray for Don and Giselle and Jamie and the entire family as they get the gift that God has given to them. And you know, the opportunity that they get to shape the life. You know, one life can change so thousands of people. You know, my grandfather came to the Lord, and as a result of that, literally, not only in our family, maybe 200 people are affected positively, but thousands of people know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So one life changed can make a lot of impact. So let's keep praying for them. Anything else you want to kind of share, you have on your heart, any testimony, any prayer request? You know, we should do this very often, and that's my effort, really, if not every Sunday, but very often we should have this opportunity. We should pray for, you know, of course, I would have mentioned that, for Jim, our brother Jim there sitting at the back. He lost his mother 2 weeks ago and his brother last week. So there's a lot of things to process for him. You know, we need to come around Brother Jim as our church family, just lift him up in our prayers and encourage him. So we're going to pray for him. If somebody would, you know, during the prayer, if somebody would like to go and lay hands on Jim, just feel free to do that, okay? I mean, it's totally fine to just kind of get up from your seat and just go lay hands on him and pray during our prayer. Anybody else has something? Daylene is here. It's just so good to see you. It's just amazing. Thank you. Welcome to your home, really, you know, Alaska. But she has a home everywhere. So that's just amazing. Welcome. Yeah, do you want to say something? Okay, yeah. Everybody is so quiet. You're probably so tired this weekend. You've been doing too many things, I guess, you know? Alrighty, so let's pray today. Give this time to God. And, you know, if you have some needs before you, just come before him. You know, he is listening to us today. His presence is in the midst of us. So let's do that. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we just come before you, O God, this weekend and this morning. As we just gather here in your presence, O Father God. And we acknowledge your presence today in the midst of us, O Father God. We know that you're speaking to our hearts, our minds, O God, and you know our journey, you know our needs, you know our praises and thanksgiving that we offer to you today. Many of us are in a different places, and we are so grateful to you for the joy that you bring. And today we just praise you and give you thanks for the birth of Coulter Dean, who has been who has come into this world and Dillo family you know, the mother and father are so happy, and we are so grateful for that, oh God. We pray today that you will put your hand of blessings upon him, this entire family, oh God, as you have brought the joy into their life as well, oh God. So we give you praises for this new life that has been brought and gifted by you in this world. And thank you, God, and we praise you and give you thanks for that. And today we also pray for Don and Giselle and their entire family, and especially Jamie, as he's being adopted into this household, oh Father God, but most importantly, oh God, that he is being adopted into the family of God. And oh Father, as he grow up, as he walk in your fear and learn about you, oh God, we pray that you will put your hand of covering around him, oh God. Give him the thoughts that he would think well, he would seek you, and he will walk on your path, oh Father. That is our prayer for him. Give Don and Giselle strength that is needed to bringing up into your teachings and into your fear, oh God, all the days of his life. Thank you, Jesus, for all the good things that you have done for us. We especially pray for Jim today, and as he is going through this rough time, it is never easy thing to process, even if we are expecting an unexpected death or expected death that we experience in our family, oh Father God. His mother and his brother is no longer in this world, and oh Father, that brings grief to his heart, and the world is shaken because the family members who you know are there are no longer there. And today we lift him up to you, oh Father God. Just watch over him, and oh Father, give him the strength that he needs, and the peace and the calmness that comes from you, oh Father God. He needs it these days. And so we pray for him, oh Father God. Lift him up, oh Father. Put your hand of protection upon him, and help him to process this grief that he's going through, oh Father. Thank you, Jesus, for all the good things you have done. Thank you, God, for walking with us when we are not doing good in our life, in the sense we are facing troubles in our lives, oh God. You are there. You are always walking with us through the valley and through the tough times. And thank you, God, that we can rely on you. We can speak to you. We can express our needs to you, oh God. And you listen to those. And thank you for doing that. And today we pray for our worship, and pray for our worship through the giving of our tithes and offering, oh God. It is an act of worship, oh Father. So help us to give you through our sacrificially, and keep our heart at the right place as we give you, oh God, that belongs to you. So receive it, bless it, and have your way, oh God. We pray for our children, and as they learn from you, oh God, that you bless them and watch over them, oh Father. Thank you, Jesus. We just give this time to you, and thank you, God, for being with us, present, and moving in our hearts and minds today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. So let's worship the Lord through the giving of our tithes and offering. Ushers, if you will come, just, you know, take the plates and do that, and you can put the offering in the plate. The offering baskets are at the at the back as well. Or you can give online on wasilalakechurch.org, and the donate button. It is very easy to do that. And so just do that. Let's clap as we give to the Lord today.
Let's continue to sing about having joy in our trials.
Yes. Right now? Okay. Can you just pause?
Sure.
We're going to share a beautiful picture here in a minute. I don't know how we missed that announcement, Renee, but
yeah.
This is what I was praying for. This is amazing. Let's rejoice in the Lord. Beautiful. If she brings it to the, I'm just going to take the liberty.
Yeah.
If she brings the baby to the church, first one is $500 to kind of cuddle with, then $400, three, right, like that, right? And that is the fundraiser for, I don't know, for something, for NYC maybe, you know? Sorry, that's a joke, you know?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much this morning. Oh, I need my phone from there. Sorry. I have to read a scripture. Sorry. I hope last Sunday you had a great time. I know Pastor Vandana was preaching, and it has been great. Pastor Matthew and we were on a trip to kind of learning different things about compassionate ministry in Indiana, and then we visited the Freedom Church, who were here, their group, and we were there, and then we met them just towards the end of the service. It's beautiful. And then went and did some visiting in Seattle area, learning about different styles of churches and things like that, and visited a few people. So that was amazing. But welcome to the worship this morning. And we are going to talk today about, and you can entitle this sermon anyhow we want, but really about our, where is our heart, really? That is what we are going to talk about. And it can be many times we use this phrase, where is your heart, and what is where exactly your thoughts are and stuff like that. But today we are going to learn from the parable of which Jesus taught from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 24. And it really deals with the idea of where is our heart is. And let's read this story and what is happening, and then we'll go from there. This is what it says, verse 13 onwards, Luke chapter 12. Someone in the crowd, just imagine Jesus is sitting there, and he's preaching and doing teaching to many people, and maybe hundreds of thousands of people around him. And he's speaking and he's doing the teaching. And while he was in the middle of that, somebody just comes to him and says this, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And so Jesus looks at him and says, replies to him, "Man, who appointed me," like Jesus is saying, "a judge or an arbitrator between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guards against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable, this story. And this is what he says. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself," that rich man thought to himself, "what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God." Very profound story that Jesus is telling the crowd, and he's addressing to the young, this man who is asking Jesus to kind of divide the inheritance. You know, as I was thinking about that, I kind of asked the question, what is really important in life? You know, there is a lot of, we live in America, and there is a lot of, you know, it's a phrase used, it's an American dream. You know, we are just running after American dream. Nothing wrong in running after American dream and achieving the American dream, whatever that is, we make up in our mind. And when we read this passage, Jesus is really not talking about not generating wealth for ourselves. He's not really talking about it is sinful to be wealthy or rich in our life or having assets built up for our future in our life. He's not talking against that. If we read this passage on the surface and just like that, we can make a mistake of coming to that conclusion that, Jesus is against rich people. Jesus is against the savings, or Jesus is against, or God is against really looking after our future and generating the wealth or planning our future, money-wise or wealth-wise and being wise with the money. That is not what Jesus is really talking about here. But it is really the heart issue that he's addressing, and we are going to a little bit talk about this. And as I said, he is teaching to the crowd, and in the middle of that, this young man comes and he has a complaint about his inheritance. And he says, "Teacher, tell my brothers to divide the inheritance with me." And then Jesus looks at him and says, "Who appointed me the arbitrator or judge to kind of do that?" And there is a simple conversation that is going on between Jesus and this young man. And Jesus looks through and understands his heart, and he knows that his heart is not at the right place as far as the money is concerned. And then Jesus is saying, that doesn't mean also that everybody who asks for their inheritance is wrong. It is not about that. It is not about, we cannot draw the conclusion from this passage that the moment somebody asks for inheritance in the property or whatever wealth that is there is a wrong person or they are doing wrong. That is not what it is. But Jesus is really talking to the attitude towards money, the attitude towards the possession, the attitude towards the wealth that is there in this world. And he is really addressing the attitude of greed that we can have. So, for example, and our attitude towards the possession and the money and the wealth, we can have a positive attitude or a very negative attitude, which is self-centered and just thinking about ourselves. That is called greed. And so that is what Jesus is really addressing. And he's saying that, he really wants to talk about greed. So we can have a lot of wealth and not be greedy. And we can have very little money in our possession and we can be very greedy, or vice versa. So it is really has very little to do with how much possession that we have. It is a sermon for some other time that Bible really talks about lots about money. It really talks and gives a lot of wisdom into our life about how do we plan for our wealth, why we should plan for our future, why the savings is important, why we should be careful about our money because it's a gift from God, and how do you manage that is a lot of things written in the Word of God, and it is important for us to think that way and manage it and do that, but it is really about the greed that how, what is our attitude towards that? And God sees the problem and he wants to address that to this young man. And so we can learn that from this as well. So I just want to kind of, this Proverbs 21:26 speaks to this, and it says, "There are always greedy for more, while the godly love to give." Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10 talks about that also. And those who love money will never have enough. How absurd to think that wealth brings true happiness. And it really addresses very directly that generally the psyche of, you know, the advertisement we listen, we talk to a lot of people and they said, man, you got to have money in order to, because money is the source of happiness. And Bible really talks about that, you know, people who have a greedy heart, doesn't matter how much money we have, it is just not enough. Many times, all of us have been there in that place, all of us, including myself, that it is just not enough. And we get a little bit more money and it's still not enough. And it is still not enough. It is still not enough. It is not about how much money we have or how much wealth we have, but what is our attitude towards that wealth, you know? And you know, I want, you know, Chuck Swindoll writes so many things about this attitude of the money and things like that. I won't go too much into that, but sometimes you should read some of his writings about that. If you have some time, just do the research and read about that. But as we think about this, I want to kind of bring our attention back to this parable and learn a few very important things from this parable, three or four things today. And one of the things that is that this parable really teaches us in our life, and we can all evaluate our life, because we all, you know, have a relationship with money. We all have a relationship with wealth, and that is a part of our life. And, you know, there is a lot of wealth and there is a little wealth or whatever it may be, and it is all relative. For some people, $1,000 is a lot of money. Some people, $1,000 is nothing. For some people, $1 million is a lot of money, and for some people, $1 million is nothing. You know, it's kind of a change in for them. But it is about really the attitude. And the first thing we learn from this parable is this: when our hearts are focused on ourselves, we do not give God the credit for things he has done. And so we live our life in this world. And God has given, we just celebrated Coulter's life, coming into this life. We all has been given the gift of life. God really brought us into this world. And he has given us life to live on this world, in this world. And we, you know, our life without God is meaningless. And so God has to be part of everything what we do, including money. Many times we live our life and we go to church, worship God, and we read the Bible, and we do everything, and we involve God in all aspects of our life. But there is one aspect we think that it's untouchable and we should not involve God into that area, is our wealth, is our money. That is for me, and I have earned that, and I need to kind of direct that and do whatever I want to do. Of course, we want to put our brain into that. But that is the attitude of our life, that we keep those things separate. So let me read the verse 16 from the passage here, and it says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully.'" Now he says here, "The ground of certain rich man yielded plentifully." And he's saying that this rich man had a lot of wealth generated. Now, I just want you to kind of notice here that, you know, this rich man has earned all the wealth very honestly, working hard. You know, he is not kind of robbing somebody's money or somebody's grain, or his land does not belong to somebody. He has his own land and of where the field or whatever, and he's producing all that. And so, Jesus, when he's talking certain rich man, he's not really, you know, coming down on him saying that, oh, this is a rich man, so automatically he's a bad person. That is not what he's saying. He's simply stating that this rich man who has earned things honestly, yielded and was blessed enough in his fields and generated a lot of grain. And then as he sees this amazing harvest, you know, he kind of focuses on that man, so much harvest. And then he says that, you know, it is mine. Everything belongs to me. And he rejoices in that. Nothing wrong in that. But there is no mention of God's blessing in that. He just totally forgets. If you read that parable very carefully, you will notice that there is no involvement of God. He never acknowledged that maybe God has blessed his fields to kind of generate all these grains. Many times we get blessings in our lives, more than what we expected. God blesses us, you know, wealth-wise, money-wise, or other things, and we are happy and we rejoice. And many times when there are positive things happening in our lives, we don't think about God because times are joyful. You know, things are happy. And so as long as we are in that place, we conveniently forget God and forget to give him the glory and acknowledge his involvement in what God has done in our life. And you know, that is the sign of a greed, a greedy heart, a heart which is not acknowledging God. And that is what this rich person is doing, that he's saying that, you know, it is all mine. And he's just kind of gloating into that thing. Nothing wrong to be rich, but the way you look at your wealth or what God has in the first place given to you, that is the problem. The second thing is this. When our hearts are focused on ourselves, we make plans but leave God out. Again, you know, verse 17 and 18, it says, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And so he is talking to himself. This is what I will do. This is what I will, you know, I'll tear down this my old barns and make the space and do that. Nothing wrong in that. That is a good management. That is a good thing. But here it is. If you will read that carefully, there are four times he has used the word mine. He has used the word I about eight times. So the whole focus is upon himself. Whole focus is upon himself. He is saying, this is what I will do. This is what I need to do. This is for myself. And it is whole focus is on himself. And so that's where we many times can operate, knowingly or unknowingly. When we have a wrong attitude towards the wealth and what God has done in our life, not only about money, but about variety of things, the good blessings that God brings in our life, we just want to keep it to ourselves. We just apply that to ourselves. And it is all about me and mine and my thing. And we conveniently forget about what God has done in our life. And that is a sign of greedy heart. That is a sign of a greedy heart. And the third thing is this, you know, when our hearts are focused on ourselves, we consider spending our resources only on ourselves because it is all about us. So God has given us wealth. God has given us blessing. God says, you know, this is the path I'm going to open for you. This is the good door I'm going to open for you. And because it is about myself and mine, we want to take all that God has given to us and just spend it on ourselves. We don't think about anything. So verse 19, it says, "And I will say to my soul," it says, just read that slowly and carefully, the attitude of this man in this story. It says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many good goods laid up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry." And it is all about myself. And oh, his attitude is, you know, he addresses his soul and he says, you know, you don't have to worry about anything. All these things is for yourself. Just enjoy and take, you know, take rest and do just, you know, just drink, eat, and do all these things. You know, this man thought that when he put his plan into action, that he would have it made for many, many years. And he's just focused upon himself and saying, "I will use this and I will use that," and just be very happy. And he has created this entire world where he is the center of this world. And everything revolves around him. You know, we need to sometimes think about ourselves. Do we find ourselves in that situation? Do we find ourselves in the situation where everything revolves around me? It is not only about the wealth, but it is about all other aspects of our life. That if something has to happen, it has to happen that suits me. If it doesn't suit me, I'm not going to be part of that. It is only about myself. All the situations has to satisfy my soul. And if it does not happen, it just creates problem within our soul. Is that how we operate in our life? And that's exactly what Jesus is really addressing. It is so much focus on ourselves that we forget that the world exists, that other people exist, that community exists, that the nation exists, and most of all, God exists, who is in your life. Because of him, you have received these positive things, this blessing, and you are only focused on ourselves. You know, James chapter 4, verse 13 and 16, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen to you tomorrow. For what is your life? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." That is James chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. You know, God is not saying, don't plan. Don't plan your vacations. Don't plan, you know, the enjoyable activities. It is all good to do that. And he is very, you know, there is a very clear distinction here which says, it is nothing wrong in doing that. But we come and we operate in a place that we want to operate in a such a way that the life is never going to end. We are in a firm control of everything. And this is what we will do, and this is what how it will happen, and we'll live life. And there are lots of people who do that, they force themselves in a situation and they want to make everything good for themselves, thinking that they are living here for eternity. They are creating their empire so that they are going to live on the face of this earth for eternity. As I was, you know, preparing for this sermon and thinking about that, and my mind just kind of went, you know, last 15 to 20 years, you know, we were there in Idaho visiting, you know, dropping our son, Eli, and as a part of that, we kind of visited a couple of families there. And we know them for many, many, many years. And we saw them, and they are all in their 90s. Some of them are 94 years old, still walking and living on their own, and God has given them enough life and things like that. And as we were talking with them, I was thinking, and it just kind of came to my mind that in the last 15 or even 10 years, people I interacted with, and you probably have done the same thing, just think about that. People who were strong and just amazing people, and you thought, you know, they are doing some great work and all that, and you never thought that after 10 years or after 15 years, they are not going to be there. And I counted, just quick count in my head, and some of, you know, about 20 to 25 people I know personally are no longer there. They're gone from the face of this earth. And that is what is going to happen. And so as we live our life on the face of this earth, and I just don't want to kind of restrict this to the money itself, but money becomes a very, very kind of a vital part of our life, because a lot of our heart is stuck in there, but about everything, not only money, but about our career, about what we are going to do, about how do we plan our lives, how do we plan our education, how do we plan our family life, all those things. You know, we plan them, and we chart the course of our life, and it is important to chart the course of our life. But we get so focused on charting the course of our life that we take control of that so much that we forget that God exists in this mix. We forget that, you know, we have to give God some space into our planning and ask him, God, this is what we are thinking. What is your thought in this whole idea? Open the doors, O God, for me, which needs to be opened, and close the doors for me, which needs to be closed, because God has created you. He has given you life, and he has, each one of us, he has given us life with purpose and with meaning. And he loves us so much, when I say he loves us so much, that he wants to have a personal relationship with us. And when we say God wants to have a personal relationship with us, it is a spiritual implication, but it is also a very practical implication in our life that he wants to be involved in our lives. He wants to say, you know, do this, or maybe this is a great idea, or this is not a great idea. This door is open, but evaluate these things, and God wants to speak to our hearts and our minds and direct our path. That is his involvement in our life. God is a very practical God. He's just not sitting there and just kind of, and we are sitting here, but he wants to be involved, and he is involved if we will allow him to be a part of our life. So whether it is the wealth creation, or it is our attitude towards the money, or our career, or education, or our family life, or whatever it is, the question is, where is our heart? Is our heart only inwardly focused? And I want to do what I want to do, and that's about it. And God is not involved in any of our thought process. We can all get to that place very easily. That is how our culture is built up around us. That is what our culture tells us, that is how we have to do. We have to be aggressive. We have to take hold of things, press on very hard to win in life. And it is okay to a certain extent, but in doing all these things, if we don't involve God in our life, it is going to be a problem. And that the truth of the matter is, the very true things I want to say at the end here, when our hearts are focused on ourselves, we store our treasure in the wrong place. So that $1 million, for example, we earned, and our focus is so much on that. That $1 million or that career of ours or our education or whatever we want to achieve in our life, that makes our identity. And we live for that thing, what we kind of build around ourselves. Maybe we want to, you know, do the PhD or whatever it is, and that becomes our identity. Or we want to have a certain career, that becomes our identity. Or we want to build a certain house, and that becomes our identity. And it's different things for different people. And we live for that. We talk all day long about that. And that is all it is for us. And there is absence of God in that. We may be good Christians in a sense that we go to church and we read our Bible and all that. But what really matters in our life, we don't involve God. And so when we come to that place, that same $1 million, that same career, we have automatically stored that in a wrong place. Because God is not involved in that. And He is not directing our path. He is not, you know, giving us the thoughts and giving us, you know, our decision-making abilities. He's not part of that. And so automatically, all that thing is going towards destruction. But when God is involved, it turns into a very different thing. I'll get to that in a little bit, but let's read verse 20 from this story. And it says, "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?'" You know, the word fool, God addresses this man as a fool. Now, when we just read the word fool, which means that this guy is stupid. This person makes the wrong decisions. And, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. But if we really focus on that word fool in Greek, whatever the Greek word is, what that means is, whenever the word fool is used in the Word of God, that what that means is a person who lives their life without God. That's what it means. A person who lives their life without God. So we may live our life, in 80% of our life, we consult with God, but 20% of the things, we just keep God separate from that. That means we are fools in a sense that we don't involve God in those things. And that is what, you know, Jesus is really referring to this, that he was a foolish man. He was a rich man. He was a very honest person. He accumulated his wealth with honesty and with hard work and all that. In spite of that, he's a foolish person because he has made God absent totally from all his wealth and all the things he's doing. You know, Psalm 14 verse 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart that there is no God." What does that mean? That any person who says that there is no God, there is no place of God in their life, that person is a foolish person. And many times we can find ourselves into that situation. We can live our life as a foolish, and we don't know that we are living our life as a foolish person. You know, the question needs to be asked for our life: God, where is my life today? How am I living my life? You know, this is the rhythm of my life. This is what I do. You know, this is my career, this is my education, this is my family life, and this is what I do on Monday, Tuesday, all the week, and all these things. And then there is my wealth and all the aspects of my life. And the question needs to be asked honestly to in our heart, how many parts of my life God is directly involved? Am I intentionally keeping him out from certain areas of my life? And if that's the case, it is a problem. Our heart is not at the right place. If that is the case, that area of our life is becoming darker. It is being rusted. It is of no use. We are putting a lot of efforts into that area, for example, education, or for example, money matters, and it is so self-centered relationship with that area of our life, and it is getting rusted because God is not involved. What that means is this: there is no eternity in that. There is no life-givingness in that, because it is only for a selfish reason. It is yours. So example of that is this. A man gets educated, and he is highly educated, and let's assume he has 3 PhDs, and he's a very learned man. And he takes his education, and he uses for the community and building people up, and all the knowledge that he wants to spread it out. And as a result of that, many people, you know, follow God and make their career, and it is a life-giving. It's a life-giving life that person lives. And then on the other hand, this man acquires a lot of knowledge, and he sits on that and never uses that for anything. It is only the title he is happy with. This person wants to be called by a lofty titles, and he wants the limelight upon that person because what he has achieved. But there, it is not used. That currency has not been used to uplift people. And so as we compare that and uplift people, and he has, you know, he has not seek God's direction into that area of life, it is just being rusted. I hope you can see that picture. And that is what Jesus is really talking about. He is really challenging this young man and to us today that what you have, don't try to gain more and more when what you have not managing it properly with God's guidance. That you have not involved God into those areas of your life. And if that's the case, you're destroying it. Because you're not creating the legacy in your life for what you have. With the wrong attitude, with the foolish behavior, with the foolishness in our life, that means, you know, the life without God's presence in those areas of your life, all that wealth in all those areas is being destroyed. Because you're going to die. We are all going to die. And there is not going to be any legacy left. And so God is really saying, I have given you these things. Maybe I have given you talent to sing. I have given you the talent to speak to people. I have given you the talent to encourage people. I have given you different things. I have given you money. I have given you education. I have given you, you know, good jobs. You know, I have placed you in certain areas of your, you know, of community. Are you creating a legacy there? The only way that you can create a legacy there, even after you are passed on, people are being affected positively. The only way you can do that, when you surrender those things to God and involve God into your all aspects of your life and seek his direction as to how do we utilize that, that will make the difference. That will take those assets and make those eternal assets for our life. So how do we want to live our life? Where is our heart? And that is the challenge, you know, Jesus is really speaking here when he told this parable to people. That how do you live your life? You know, you can live your life on your own terms and just enjoy the things like how this wealthy man did. But man, you don't know where the death is coming. And what's the point then? Or take these grains and utilize for God's glory and seek direction from God. How do I, God, you have given me all these grains on in my field, more than what I was expecting. And the right attitude, you know, God, do you want me to build these big barns and store it? Or do you want me to give it to somebody or whatever it may be? He never seek God's direction. And we can probably find ourselves into the same situation. So question today for all of us, including myself, when we live a life of blessing, when God gives us whatever he places before us, what is my attitude towards that? Is God part of that? Or I'm just driving the bus in my own thinking and in my own manner? If we are doing that, it's going towards destruction. So let's think about that and ask God the direction for our life, for all aspects of our life. Let's bow our heads today. Give thanks. Father in heaven, we come before you, O God, this morning. There are lots of things that happen in our life, O Father God. You know, the producing of this grain in this field is just an example. The grain is produced in our life in many different areas. It's a monetary wealth in our family life, enriching our family life, or you know, variety of things, our education, our business, our so many things, oh God. We can take that and just kind of our focus, our attitude is so selfish towards that. But oh Father, if we involve you in all those decision making, it is going to be different. So help us, oh God, to process things in our life in a right way. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
As we're preparing to sing this last song, I'm going to invite you to stand. And I'm reminded of Philippians 2, where Paul says, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And as we keep him at the center of our lives, remember what he did for us. We're going to sing forever.
The ground began to shake.